This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, In Short Supply. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It's summertime. That means lots of people are on vacation, and that creates a problem for blood banks. They rely on blood drives at schools and offices to replenish their supply. So when school lets out and employees go on vacation, there's less blood to go around. Jake J. Smith reports.
Raul Mora's job gets a lot more stressful in the summertime. So as a way to kick back, he plays baseball, third base and pitcher.
I play with Chicago North. I play with the Sea Dogs. It's a 53 and over team.
In Chicago, Raul oversees the distribution of blood to 10 hospitals, and he knows exactly when to expect the summer slowdown.
We saw it a little earlier this year. I don't know if it's because our transfusions are up, or if people just started leaving for vacations early, or if they changed the school calendar. I really don't know, but we started seeing it probably 2 weeks before Memorial Day.
Raul shows me a huge walk-in refrigerator at the Red Cross. Can we go inside there?
Sure.
There are yellow plastic bins holding pints of blood, but about 80% of the shelves are empty.
And it's built to accommodate up to 5,000 products, but there's only 1,000, so it's not good.
This is about half as much blood as Raul usually keeps in stock. And this drop happens every year. They can't stockpile earlier in the year before summer hits because red blood cells only last about 45 days in the fridge. After that, they start breaking down.
Once it hits that shelf life, those products are no good. We have to throw them out.
How bad does this problem get? The Red Cross says nationwide, its donations decrease by about 6% in the summer. Other blood distributors say their donations drop 10%, even 20%. Now, to be clear, nobody is dying from these blood shortfalls. When stocks run low, blood suppliers will hustle and work with hospitals to make sure the blood goes wherever it's needed most. But you have to wonder, if blood suppliers are so desperate for more donations in the summer, and the shortage predictably happens every year, maybe it would help if they paid people to give blood.
We think that the evidence is pretty clear that this could be a way to solve when there's temporary shortages.
That's Bob Slonim. He's an economist at the University of Sydney who studies altruism and blood markets. Because blood is essentially a commodity. Organizations like the Red Cross are taking your donated blood and selling it to hospitals. So why not give blood donors a cut of that money? It's perfectly legal in the U.S. to pay people for their blood. In fact, for much of the 20th century, that's how it worked. Then in 1970, a social policy researcher named Richard Titmuss published a book called The Gift Relationship. In the book, he argued that paying people for their blood might attract the wrong kind of folks.
Maybe people who can't hold a steady job, and so these might be people that have issues with alcohol or with drugs, that would actually make their blood less safe.
In the book, Titmuss argued that it's just better to rely on people's good charitable instincts. Soon after, organizations like the Red Cross and the World Health Organization started advocating for volunteer-only blood donation, which brings us to the system we have now. But recently, economist Bob Slonim and other researchers put this theory to the test. They did several studies to find out what happens when you give people incentives, like a $10 gift card or a t-shirt. And they found that these incentives worked. More people did donate. And as far as safety?
We never found that when the incentives were offered, we saw any increase in people being disqualified to donate blood.
Bob's research team wasn't able to offer blood donors money, just small gifts. So I wanted to know, how would blood donors feel about getting paid cold, hard cash for their blood? I visited a blood drive in downtown Chicago to ask a few people, and most of them said, no thanks, like Brenda Thompson.
So you're telling me if you got 20 bucks, you wouldn't do it more frequently?
No, honestly, really, whenever I can give blood, that's what I'm going to do.
Another blood donor, John Merman, had other more creative ideas, like maybe they could hold the blood drive on the observation deck of the Willis Tower, a famous Chicago tourist destination where you can look out over the city.
Donation with a view. Or serve cocktails. Not that that idea would ever fly.
Can you imagine how woozy people would get?
Yeah, well, might be entertaining too.
That's not likely to happen. So far, there hasn't been enough demand or worry to change the system. But over the years, scientists have been looking for a scientific breakthrough that could change how things are done. One of the latest attempts is from Alan Doctor, a physician and researcher at Washington University in St. Louis. He's the creator of Erythromer.
So it's an artificial red blood cell that's intended to resuscitate people who might be severely anemic or bleeding.
Erythromer is a pink powder that you would mix with water. It's designed to be injected into someone's bloodstream. Erythromer hasn't even been tested in humans yet, but the big idea is that it could be used on soldiers who are wounded on the battlefield, where real blood might be hard to store. And it could also help hospitals and blood banks deal with seasonal shortages. For instance, when someone is rushed to the emergency room after a major accident, doctors could give them the powdered substitute to stabilize the patient, freeing up real blood for other uses. It could also come in handy in a major incident like the Boston Marathon bombing.
Boston area hospitals went to the brink of depleting the local blood bank with that disaster. And we have discussed with government agencies the possibility of stockpiling Erythromer in urban centers.
In the future, could all of the blood we need come from a lab instead of from people? Physician Alan Doctor says that's a long ways off. Erythromer is not a perfect substitute for blood. It doesn't clot or fight infection or circulate like real blood does. For now, we'll have to continue to depend on people lining up to donate. For The Pulse, I'm Jake J. Smith.